Welcome to the Listening at Warwick podcast. In this episode, we listen to Stefania and Katie talk about exam realness, how we can create the best mashup of online and on-campus learning, and Stefania is evangelical about Teams. Katie is an associate professor and has taught with Warwick Business School for 15 years, and she has the pen to prove it. Stefania is an associate professor with the economics department. This is part two of their conversation to listen to them talk about how they moved assessment online and the challenges and benefits that has brought both for them and for students. Tune in to part one via the Listening at Warwick podcast.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't use Teams for teaching at all. WVS had Blackboard, a software called Blackboard, that we did all our lectures and seminars on, which had some of the same things there, but it was a sort of an online classroom, basically. But the problem with that, as I said, is over a certain number of students, they have to turn off their ability to talk to you. So there was no way they could talk to me anyway in large lectures. So it was only the chat. And you're right, you do have to get used to reading chat as well as your slides and going from one to the other, which was quite tricky. I did find that the students were answering their colleagues, as it were, questions sometimes. So they were kind of answering for me, which was great. And also showed, of course, that they had been listening, some of them. So that was always good. So we got that. But I think the reason I preferred the smaller classes, so the seminars and the revision sessions, etc., that I set up as drop-ins, as it were, was because then the software saw it as a small classroom, so they could talk to me if they wanted to. And actually, I mean, some of them, yeah, definitely were a little put off by that at first, but I think they got used to it. I think they certainly talked to me more towards the end of term, as it were, as they got into it more. The seminars were a bit like getting blood out of a stone, I have to say, to start with. And you're right, please can someone put up a happy face or a sad face or anything at this point so I know you're alive. The software did give us the ability to put people in groups as well. So we could put them into breakout groups. I'm not sure the students necessarily liked that on all modules. I think it probably depended on the module a little bit. But I think with ours, with the more technical quants modules, it didn't quite work as perhaps we would have hoped. But generally speaking, I just thought from an assessment point of view, the group works worked well. Because they were able to meet each other. There were time difference issues that they had to work around. I'm not sure that was necessarily a bad thing. I think, you know, in the lives we're going to continue to have in work and otherwise, that working around people's time differences is probably something we need to be able to do. And it worked fine. It worked fine, I think, in the most part. It didn't seem to be any worse. I think in some ways it was a bit better from their point of view of being able to get together, because they weren't trying to physically get together anymore, which is probably more difficult in some ways. So, yeah, I think from that point of view, it worked fine. And I guess from my point of view, on the student's point of view also, it meant that it wasn't all weighted on the exam, which we know is very stressful.
I echo what you said about group work. I have become quite a fan of Teams. I used to hate it when I started, when we started last year. It was a bit earlier, like in March or something, you start using Teams. I found it was the least user-friendly thing ever. I said, this doesn't make sense, how you find people, how you create groups. By now, I'm almost evangelical about using Teams. I said, no, we should do this on Teams because it makes it much easier. But I found that doing group work on Teams with the students was a completely different, a better thing. I say, I don't know whether that can keep in the future, because, you know, if you are not using Teams, asking the students to use Teams only for that is going to be difficult. But because we were doing the lectures on Teams, right, I set up private channels for all the group work. So I have, like, I don't know, 25 groups in my classroom. So each group have a private channel in which, of course, I added all the members. and I could communicate with each group. So I could communicate with all groups if I wanted to, but because they have different submissions, different types, I say, okay, group 5, 10, and 12. Remember, on Friday, you have to submit this. Okay, yeah. And, you know, once you have 120 students or something, you don't remember the names of your students, of course. Maybe you do. Okay,
no.
I don't. But on Teams, you can say, okay, Catherine Will, can you please remember this? And it feels much more, we are enough. It feels much more personal in there that it feels in, excuse me, you and you, the one back there with the red T-shirt, it felt much better on Teams because I could say, okay, Catherine Will, can you please remember that you have to finish this by Friday? Why you haven't submitted yet? If there is any problem, please do let me know as soon as possible. And this kind of communication worked better. Students, and you could see that the students were also using the private team to communicate about the things, to meet, to, yeah, meetings as well were much easier because they didn't have to agree times to meet in campus. And you are in Leamington, you live in Coventry, you live in campus and things. They just now are used to kind of meet on Teams. I asked them to submit on Teams as well. So kind of we have our own bubble. All our course was on Teams for a long time. And I think that was just all our life were much easier. So as I said, I don't know whether next year, I think that it's going to still be online learning. So we are going to keep Teams. I don't know what it's going to be like, but it might be a mix. So I'm going to keep it.
Yeah, I mean, we use Teams for all our meetings, obviously, you know, admin meetings, as it were. And I am using them for all my master's supervision meetings, which I'm doing at the moment a lot. There are some advantages, definitely, I think, to this sort of online meeting. For one thing, my students can record it if they need to. A lot of them are, you know, English is not their first language. So actually, you know, they're very polite. They ask, can I record it? But I'm absolutely happy with that. And it's certainly probably better than them trying to take notes, etc. So if they want to do that. So I think there are many advantages to online, you know, sort of teaching, assessment, you know, and everything that goes with it. There are some definite downsides as well, but you know, the old way had downsides as well. It's just different, perhaps slightly different downsides. So yeah, I'm hoping that we can find a balance. I think if we can keep the good things and maybe exploit those, or maybe just remember actually what we learned from the online teaching when we do go back at some point to face-to-face, that I agree that it was so much easier to see their names because I sounded like I knew them. It was great. And I hate that when I'm, you know, in a classroom with, you know, and I can't, I'm afraid my eyesight's not that great and my hearing's not brilliant either. So, you know, in a large lecture room, I really struggle. It's difficult to answer questions that I can't hear. And it's difficult even to see students at the back of the room. So this was great for me in many ways, and I think did actually bring us closer rather than further away, even though we were, you know, literally in different parts of the world at the same time. So I think there's lots of good things. I'm assuming that we'll probably stay with a lot of the assessment, online assessment. I think the software supports it. I mean, everything was always submitted online anyway, wasn't it? We were slowly getting there, if you see what I mean. I think things have just been sped up, that's all. So we just have to...
I completely agree. And I remember you saying about the office hours. I was thinking about it. Yeah, I miss when my office hours used to be quiet and so no one's hanging up. But I was planning in any case before the pandemic, because I say, okay, I joke, but I said, but students are not coming to office hours. Then when you talk to students, it's obvious. You say, well, I live in Leamington, I don't have a lecture until 4 p.m. and your office hours is at 10 a.m. so I have to come for like a 10 minutes meeting and then hang around university for the whole day until my 4 p.m. lecture. So kind of I don't come. So I was planning to do 1 hour online just to try and see how it works. Of course, the pandemic meant that we had to, but I don't think I'm going to go back. So I'm planning to have one face-to-face, if we can have face-to-face, and one online. It does save a lot of time. So I think there are, yeah, I agree that there are many positive things. I just hope we find the right balance rather than a balance towards taking the worst of both worlds. That's the scary part.
Yeah, I think it'll take a bit of time to work it out. And that's fine, you know, and you can be to a certain extent, you know, led by the students and, I mean, obviously get the balance with practicality and what can be done. But yeah, I mean, the students were already voting with their feet as far as lecture goes anyway. I mean, I used to have a, was it 3 to 5 p.m. Friday lecture, which essentially hardly anyone ever came to. And they would very openly say, I even did a survey to try to work out why people weren't coming to this lecture in case there was anything I could do. But it boiled down to the timing, and they just said the traffic is horrendous to Leamington at that time on a Friday, and we just don't want to come in, I'm sorry. And apparently my power sides were brilliant, so they didn't feel they really were losing much. Plus, of course, we were recording on a, you know, at that point anyway, so I quite understood. So I think in many ways having the live online lecture was much better, because more people came because they could, you know, and they were willing to, and I think probably I hope they benefited from that. So I think there are many things we can perhaps learn, as you say, take the best from the various worlds that we have now lived in, and try to mash them together so that they make a cohesive whole. I think there's still some way to go with online exams, definitely. I think they have some big issues that are tricky, and trying to get something that works for them is probably going to be maybe longer time period to try and work that out.
I am a bit towards the second part. I think my exams, I have made them work now online, so I'm happy with at least two of them. You're right, there is one that I'm still a bit like, the one that is still a traditional exam online, a bit worries. I think about that one next year. I couldn't think about three in 1 year.
No.
But yeah, it was too much. But I am a bit more worried about the lectures. On one hand, I like some of the bits, but I'm still worried that it's not kind of the same. I get tired of listening. Maybe, you know what? I was telling my partner the other day, I don't think I like learning through videos. I do notice that, you know, when you want to look at something online, say, oh, how do you do this? And there are all these videos of 30 seconds, 1 minute, and there is something to read. I go for the something to read. I say, no, like, give me the instructions. I read it one by one and I'll do it like that. If I really don't get it, then I go to the video. And I never put these two things together until like last week. I said, oh my gosh, and what about if there are many students like me? Like, they are really struggling with this video, listening to videos all the time, because I literally don't like putting videos. I said, give me a book. I read from the book, that I learn from the book. But I would go to a live lecture. Yeah, I love going. If someone says, come here and I explain you how to do it. So, okay, no, that's fine. That's better then. So I do think I want to go back to the classroom, but maybe it's because I just like the idea of being in a classroom again.
I miss the live interaction, I must admit, you know. But I think the thing is, I do try to accommodate, I always have, to be honest, all types of learning, because you're right. You know, I mean, now we're probably more extreme than we ever have been because there's so many videos. But on the other hand, you know, I do offer books. I do offer other ways, as it were. I try to. So we do try to mix it up. I agree. I think I probably prefer a book as well. but maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's our age. Who knows? I'm happy to talk about the authenticity. Because that probably does does lend itself to my sort of major change this year, which was to allow them to use software, well, to ask them to use software in an exam, which I've never been able to do before, because, you know, with 500 students, there's no way you can get them in a lab. There's just no way to do it in that way, and they were always in a room with a paper-based exam, and that's completely not what they're going to do when they get out, and they have to do statistics or any sort of data analytics, as it were, for real, which is why, of course, we have a group work. The group work is there to make them do something that is a little bit more aligned perhaps with what they would do in real life when they get out into the business world. But that leaves this huge chunk of exam that was essentially just testing their knowledge and understanding on paper. So this year, being able to give them data in an exam and ask them more context-driven, I suppose, analytic questions. Even in my other module, where I didn't give them data, mainly because I wasn't going to be sure that the software would work for them. They have more complicated software in the other module. It's not Excel, which is a little bit more sort of you expect everyone to have it kind of idea. Whereas this is more specific software, which was a right pain to actually get to work during the term time, let alone any other time. So I played it a little bit safer in the other module, and didn't give them tasks to do for real, as it were. But on the other hand, the questions were far more context driven, so it was far more real, in that it was making them think about the parts of the modeling process that they would have to do in real life, and giving them scenarios that a client could come to them with in an exam situation. So yeah, I think it was far more real, the assessment, maybe, you know, far more aligned perhaps with what they really need to know and be able to do when they get out into the real world. And I do try to make my modules as practical as possible. So I think actually having these online exams or assessments allows you to actually align the assessment a bit more with that practical stance, which was great. Does bring up a few issues with, you know, worrying about students who perhaps have software problems or IT issues during the exam. But I'm not sure we can ever completely get away from that when you've got an online exam. So I was quite pleased that allowed me to do that this year.
Well, I can definitely talk about the inclusion and accessibility to the exams, because I think that was my first worried about when all this came. And I said, like, what about those students who are in another country? It might not even be the fact that that the students don't have the economic resources, but the financial resources, but it might be the fact that, you know, I'm in Italy at the moment and I'm having a good time. I realized that the internet here is very slow and there is very little. Maybe it's just in the house where I am, but there's very little I can do about it, right? So so I did try to design, and for this year at least, I tried to design all the assessments in order for them to be flexible. Students, in some of the assessments, the students have the opportunity to design their own assessment. As I say, as part of the engagement activities, students could decide how many activities they submit. They could decide which activities they wanted to do, whether they wanted to do a video, as I say, a podcast, write an article. There were different topics, so they could decide which topics they wanted to work on. And at some point, they could come up with their own ideas and say, you know what, if I show you that I have understood money and banking by doing this, would you mind? And some student came and said, do you mind if I write an article for the board? I don't remember what it was at this stage, but do you mind if I do that? And then you read the article, give me feedback, and then if it gets published in the board, I said, yeah, that sounds actually a great way to engage with the subject, engage more people. And so I did put a lot of thoughts in trying to design these things. And as I say, things that I wanted to do before, but you can always push them because you don't need to change it immediately. But I think this year I felt the pressure to say, no, this is a time when we really need to try to become more inclusive and allow students more opportunities to demonstrate that they have engaged, that they can do, and that they can do it almost, I don't even want to say in their own terms, because, you know, there were still like a criteria that they have to fulfill. But within this criteria, they can choose how they wanted to fulfill. And I think that's another reason, like, that I maintain the 24 hours, 48 hours deadline, just to give the students this time to deal with any IT issues that they might have. Because, you know, if it takes longer than that, okay, you can apply for mitigating circumstances and that. But even that process, the kind of thing that you have to apply for mitigating circumstances because there is a technological issue and you couldn't submit, and rather than submit it at 2:45, you submit it at 2:55. It's stressful per se. Mm. So I say, well, just take your time, but not too much longer than that. And as I said, the feedback that I got from the students, especially last year, I haven't done it this year yet, has been so encouraging. I said, yeah, no, I did it much better. This really helped me, because especially last year, it was so new for students. At least this year, we have been telling them, this is how we are going to do it. This is what happened.
Yeah, it was lovely to meet you, Stefani. Even though it's over again on technology, it's still lovely to talk.
Thank you very much, Catherine. The same, has been very nice to talk about these things for a full hour and to talk to you and share experiences and see how, you know, you have similar students, but we still are doing big different things. I have learned a lot. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this Listening at Warwick podcast. We have lots more episodes discussing blended and online learning at the University of Warwick. So until next time.